This is Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. Southern Vermont author and musician Robin MacArthur has a new book out. It's her first novel, and it's called Heart Spring Mountain. As the book opens, Bonnie, a middle-aged heroin addict who grew up in rural Vermont, is getting high and watching Tropical Storm Irene settle in overhead. She goes out to feel the force of the storm, and she disappears. And that is the catalyst for the whole novel, which then pitches back and forth in time, telling the stories of the women in this family and how they got to this point where they're now searching for Bonnie in the aftermath of a devastating storm. MacArthur picks it up from there.
It does have multiple points of view. I think it has at least seven. But the main protagonist is Vale, who is Bonnie's daughter. She has left Vermont when she was young, and she never wanted to return. And yet her mother goes missing during the storm. And so she does return. And the novel follows her search for her mother, which becomes a search of place and a search of family history. And she uncovers secrets and discovers things about herself and the place where she's from that she never would have known. So here is a section of her returning. She's trying to get back to the farm where her great aunt and her aunt live, but the roads are washed out. So she's walking. The back roads are a mess. Downed trees, 20-foot-wide gullies where culverts once lay, but by foot it's passable. The creek bank that runs alongside her is lined with detritus, boulders, barrels, plastic toys, a washing machine, the things parked behind trailers and barns, all washed downstream. Vale sees a kid's high chair crumpled against a ledge, a fur coat snagged on a branch of a still-standing pine tree 6 feet up in the air. It's late afternoon by the time she reaches the roadside spring, clear water trickling out of a copper pipe by the side of the road 3 seasons of the year. The brass plaque says Heart Spring, the name of Vale's family mountain, the place Ezekiel Wood and his wife Zipporah settled in 1803, when it was nothing but wild forest inhabited by Abenaki and bears and moose and mountain lions. Heart Spring, they named the mountain and this spring ever running. How deeply unfitting, Vale thinks, bringing her lips to the copper pipe. But the water is clear and mineral-rich and deliciously cold. She splashes it on her face and neck, wipes a wet hand across her chest.
I love the writing.
Thank you.
So Vale, who, as we said, is Bonnie's daughter, she's been living in New Orleans, and she gets this call from her aunt that her mom is missing, and she comes back. But as you can tell from that passage, it's not without some resentment or anger or, you know, very mixed feelings about this. She hasn't been back in a while. She and her mother have a very strained relationship. Why does she come back, and why then does she stay for months, even when, you know, she might have to assume that her mother is either dead or doesn't want to be found?
You know, she has fled Vermont. She has fled her past. And there's a part of her that is looking for some kind of rootedness and connection and a connection to, you know, there is a lot of love between her and her mother in their past. And so I think that once she settles here, she is trying to get back to the source of that love and her mother's joy, which is also rooted in the landscape, as well as her mother's unhappiness. So I think I can relate to Vale very much in her desire. I grew up here. My dad grew up here. I live on the land where my grandparents settled in the early 1950s, and when I was Vale's age, when I was young, I wanted to flee. And then when I was in my mid-20s, I returned home and had this desire to reconnect to this landscape, but also to reconnect to a place that I knew, to kind of unearth the ghosts of this place and find what couldn't be learned from the past. You know, the past can both harm us and reveal our tragedies and our traumas, and the past also has the ability to heal. So I think Vale is seeking that resurrection via the past.
Robin, your first images of Vermont, you know, are not of of the mountain. They're not of a landscape that is beautiful and pastoral and romanticized. Your Vermont in the prologue is a picture of the devastation caused by Tropical Storm Irene blended with the heroin problem the state faces. Kind of a grim picture of the state and really in stark contrast to the side that the Department of Tourism would probably rather have promoted. Was that an intentional, in-your-face kind of aggressive approach, or was it really something softer because you do get to that beautiful landscape and the connection to the land that people have?
It was not intended in any way as an aggressive affront, but I'm glad that I'm a fiction writer and that I can say exactly what I want about a place as opposed to trying to continue a mythology of a place. And the book really kind of explores that mythology of Vermont, starting with the Vermont Commission on Country Life of the 1920s and 30s, who very explicitly created a mythology of Vermont based on white nostalgia. And that is not the Vermont that I know. I see a place that has lots of beauty in its landscape and also has lots of poverty, has a great class divide that began in the 1960s when hippies and homesteaders moved here and has continued ever since. We have a huge summer home population. We have a huge tourist industry. And whenever there's that clash of people with money and people without money, there are tensions there. And as someone who grew up in Vermont and my dad grew up in Vermont, I've just always been hyper aware of those layers of place, those vertical layers of place, and the many Vermonts that do exist in this one landscape.
You bring different characters into this story to illuminate some of those things that you were just talking about and to offer an example, for example, of the hippie homesteaders who came through. There's a character who found her way to Vermont that way and then found a deeper connection. And there are characters who feel a more familial tie to the land. And you bring up eugenics. You bring up the treatment of the Abnaki in Vermont. And it really does go back quite deeply, but you bring it all back to how that has influenced not just the state and the state's culture, but individual people, the characters that you write about, find that the past has really influenced them, which I suppose is true for all of us.
Yeah, I think that's one of the things I'm trying to show via fiction is the way that the past influences our present moment. We don't just show up on Earth and, you know, face human beings without any context. We're all shaped by our family stories and our own stories and by money and by politics and race, and all of these layers go into every interaction that we have with everyone else. And I also want to show the way that the story of the landscape is echoed in the story of the individual. And so Vale's story is the story in some ways of Vermont. And I also am interested in not just telling a story of Vermont, but then bringing threads of globalism. So it's the personal and the historical are mirrored, as well as the local and the global are mirrored.
I had to make myself a little bit of a chart at one point to try to keep track of who was related to whom and how. And it does all become clear, but it's a little confusing as you start to try to figure out exactly what the family connections are and who's the child of whom. But most of your main characters are women. They're all connected and they've all influenced one another in various ways. And it's very clear they're all broken. They're dealing with major pain and loss and in some cases really struggling to find themselves. But they're also very strong, strong characters, but strong women. They have the fortitude to pick up and carry on, sometimes to lead their families. And there's very much a theme of maternal strength and then the difficulties that we as children and then women have with our mothers.
You know, like many writers, the mother-daughter relationship will always be with me. I have my mother lives up the road from me. We're close. She's a farmer, and every morning as I'm working on my book, I look out my window and I see her in her fields working in her farm. So we have a great relationship. But our relationship has been complicated, and I'm also a mother to a daughter, and that has brought new levels of understanding of just how easy it is that to pass along whatever it is we bring into this life. We pass it along to our daughters, and our daughters absorb that, resist that, fight against that, embrace that. That is part of the journey, I think, of being a mother or a daughter on this earth. And so that is just one of the themes that I think will forever run through my work. And I do, my mother is also a very strong woman, and all of the women in my family are. And one of the things that has inspired me to write about women in rural fiction is so many of the women characters I have seen explored in other rural fiction are victims. And even though my characters have tragedy in their lives, they are not victims, and they do not see themselves as victims. And the women who I know and love have just an incredible resiliency and grit and tenacity, and I wanted to write that onto the page.
I'm curious about one of your characters, Lena, who, you know, I think it would be hard for anybody not to feel a connection to her. She's very eccentric. She's at the beginning, you think maybe she's very odd, a kind of a loner. You learn her connection to the family. She's Bonnie's mother. She dies, which we learn pretty early on. She died a few days after Bonnie was born. So she's not alive in the present day, but she's very much a character in this novel. She is the only one, though, of all of the characters who you tell this story from their perspective, who is told in the first person. Everybody else has an omniscient narrator. It's all he, she said, she did this. And with Lena, it's an I. Why?
You know, I really think our books write themselves, and we're just at the mercy of our books. So Lena's point of view, for whatever reason, her voice appeared and it was in first person. And my editor and I went back and forth with this for a while. And ultimately, I did put little headings for letters at the beginning of her sections. So they are, in theory, letters that she is writing to herself, to the trees, to various unborn people. But it is conceptual and, you know, at heart, they are first person. And I think Lena's voice entered me, and I did all I could to leave it that way on the page.
The book, the novel, is called Heart Spring Mountain. It's by Robin MacArthur. Robin, thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you so much, Jane, for having me on.